building and battling while waiting and watching, part 13, the Second Coming Chapel, sermon message number 297. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But beloved, Peter said, Dr. Oliver B. Green would have said, beloved, and I would have too, but Peter said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, the word slack means to not keep your word, not to come through, not to be dependable. That's how we have used it down through the years, back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, particularly in the white community, when a man was not living up to his potential and responsibilities and obligations, they would call him a slacker. If he was not a good husband, if he was not a good father, they called him a slacker. He was slack. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And may I say here, God has been falsely accused, sad to say, millions of times by his own people, misjudging him, prejudging him about what he's doing, because we don't understand what he's doing. And so he's been accused, falsely accused, for years by his own people, and of course the skeptics and the unbelievers. And we should not do that. When we don't know what God is doing in our lives, let me just say, and I believe I have thousands of older saints who would tell you, do not falsely accuse God. Do not blame God. Do not say anything negative about God. Don't think anything negative about God in some way indicating that he does not know what he's doing. Because I assure you, after walking with the Lord for over 41 years, and I know that I have thousands of other saints who have been saved just as long or longer, who will tell you Satan and others may have meant what's going on for evil, but I assure you God means it for good. God has a plan, and he's working it out. So don't get disgruntled. Pardon me. Don't get disgruntled with God when things do not seem to go the way you want them to go. Go ahead and brighten that up right there. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What a day, what a morning it has been. And Lord, I praise you and I thank you for what you have allowed us to get done and to accomplish for the kingdom. I thank you for the privilege of passing out gospel tracts in two different places on this beautiful day that you've made. We pray that you'll bless and anoint the gospel tracts and pamphlets, keeping a distance and we pray that you would open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and save even souls today from those gospel tracts. Save souls today from the preaching of your holy gospel. For we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And Lord, we individually, hopefully as your people, confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. For Jesus Christ's sake, please continue to have mercy and grace upon us. Please forgive us of all of our sins and make your vessels fit for your use. For Lord, without your power, nothing worthwhile would be done here today. And I thank you for the life's verse that you gave me. I did not give it to myself. It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So if you don't move by your Holy Spirit upon the hearts of people, here and out there, nothing worthwhile, nothing lasting will take place. And Lord, we pray, therefore, that you would cast out the devil, the spirit of the devil, cast out the spirit of the demons of hell, cast out the spirit of Satan, cast out the satanic demonic spirits of Judas. We talked about that in an earlier service today. Cast out the demon spirits of Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias. And give everybody sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Please rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his hosts, Lord, from this place and from the hearts, minds, souls, and spirits of your people, those who are here and those who are out there. For the devil is always busy seeking to try to hinder your work in every way. And Lord, I am convinced many people do not in the church today understand this and that. So therefore, they're not watchful. They don't have their guard up. They're not sober-minded. They're not vigilant. And the devil keeps bopping their heads and injuring them. Some Christians have scars all over their body because they are not watchful. They don't take your word seriously. And so, Lord, help us all here today, no matter how beautiful the day is, no matter how well things may be going, help us to do what you said, Lord Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when you told your disciples to watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Help us to take heed to your holy word, even on this beautiful, magnificent day. Lord, no matter how well things are going, help us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. And help us to always resist the devil and to know how to resist the devil. I thank you for teaching me this many years ago, and now I'm helping others. There's no secret in resisting the devil. We resist the devil with your word, by reading your holy word, by meditating on your holy word, by quoting your holy word against the devil when he puts evil thoughts in our minds to do evil. We go to the word, and the word will defeat him, as you did. And you could have created the Word because you are the Word. You did not have to go back to the Old Testament. You could have stated as you did what you wanted to state at that time, fresh and new. But you went back to the written Word. In fact, you said it is written. So, Lord, help people here, help people out there to get themselves spiritually stabilized by living by the word and prayer. And, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from us, and help us to do our part. And, Lord, we pray that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, grant me your energy from heaven, your might, your strength, your unction, and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy gospel and your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, one of the ancient church fathers, leaders in the early church, John Chrysostom, said, "In the first advent, God veiled his divinity to prove the faithful. In the second advent, he will manifest his glory to reward their faith." Beloved, in our last message in this series, we looked at how the second coming, in the eyes of some, seems delayed because God's perspective of time and events is very different from our perspective. I think you can describe it this way. You take a runner in the Olympics, a distance runner, say from Ethiopia. His perspective is more like God's perspective compared to an ant, whereas this Olympian can cover much ground and leave the ant behind. The ant is looking at the Olympian runner, and in no way can he keep up. That's kind of how you are compared to God. That's kind of how God is compared to you, to try to help you to understand why you don't see things the way God sees things and the way he sees things. Hopefully that'll help you. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, the second coming seems delayed to some because God works on his own timetable. Always. God is God, and don't you ever forget it. And you're not God. Some of us think we are little gods or something. Something's wrong because we're very proud, very stubborn, and very arrogant. And see, this is what God repeatedly said in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that he can't bless you if you're proud and arrogant and stubborn and full of hubris. And you're being very proud and arrogant and stubborn when you start questioning God and what he's doing and trying to put him in your little timetable, which so many people do and are doing. What I call gung-ho, foolish faith talk Christians right now, instead of humbling themselves down and praying and seeking God's face and turning from their wicked ways, they're all gung-ho telling, we're going to defeat this virus and be gone, virus, I declare you over, and all such gung-ho, foolish faith talk. No, God is doing something, and you need to adjust to what God is doing. He's trying to get you to humble yourself down, pray, seek his face, and turn from your wicked ways and repent. Get busy doing that instead of trying to command God and tell people, lying to people, lying to your church members that this is going to end soon. Just come on to church and get sick and die. One man died this past week in a prominent church from a prominent Bible college and just gung-ho, foolish talked himself to death. Young man, he's dead today. Over the top, condemning the vaccine and talking about he has 99 problems, but a vaccine ain't one, and all kinds of stupid foolishness like that. And if he was saved, he's in heaven now. If he was lost, he's in hell as I speak. You can't push God and you can't rush God. Just who do you think you are? Yeah. Right now in your own life, some of you are mad at God because your plans are messed up. Who do you think you are? Someone said a long time ago, man announced his plans and God laughed. You don't know. Some of you got your little plans. You're frustrated and mad at God. You're mad at family members because they predicted it and told you that you're going to have to restrict your life. And you don't want to restrict your life. You want to go on following your gung-ho, foolish faith talk pastors. And you've already been sick and you're going to get sick again. Instead of humbling yourself and adjusting to what God is doing. This plague is of long continuance, as we find in Deuteronomy. It is not only going to last a long time, as it has already for a plague, but it's going to get worse, and it is getting worse right now. There are three different variants. They're all worse than the original one right now, today. I can tell you the name of two, Lambda, and the other one is the Indian Delta, and the other one starts with a G or something. It just showed up in Illinois. You say, well, how do these things mutate? What does science say about how they mutate and change like this and become bigger monsters and more ferocious? Let me just help you. God is the one changing it. It has nothing to do with science and medicine. Nothing. God is changing it. You know why? Because we have a bunch of sad, sullen, depressed, defeated, proud, stubborn, rebellious, disobedient, whorish, swinging, whoremongers, liars, Bo Peeps and Sylvias, side pieces in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and homosexuals to boot, who are now pastors on the down low, and some are out and out homosexuals in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think God's going to wink at that and let it go? No. When he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? That's not happening. If you don't, listen to me. You don't know God if you think he's going to let that happen. You see, first of all, you can't play God like that. God's not going to let you think you can do that against him. Saints in the church trying to be sweeter than God is, more loving than God is. That's how some of us are. We look at the Bible. That's so hard. That's so harsh. We're better than that. We're going to be sweet and nice to the homosexuals. We're going to be sweet and nice to our devilish teenagers. Let me tell you something. Some of you parents, you worried and you fretting because your child acts like she hates you and he hates you. Who gives a flip? Let me tell you something about that. My dad was the best dad ever as far as love and care and doing things for his children and letting us have our way. If that's, you want to call that good, that's not good. That's Daniel White Jr., my dad. He let us get away with murder, including his wife. He let her get away with murder. He never put his foot down on my wife, on his, my mother, or on his children, on me, the oldest son, and I was the worst. Or the worst. Watch this. My dad never did me wrong, and I hated his guts. Why is that? My dad never, he never whipped me, never spanked me, never hit me in his life. But I hated him. I was lost and on my way to hell. I hated him. I apologized. Once I got saved, I apologized to him and made things right. But I hated my dad. I hated everything about him. I mean, I would not speak peaceably. So where does that come from? That comes from the devil working in your child and so forth. And so you can bend over backwards all you want to for that devil and think you're nicer than God. And think you're nicer than God. Think you're more loving than God, letting your child get away with murder. Right here. That needs to be totally blocked. Some of you husbands bending over backwards. You mock my words. Then your wife just get away with murder. Let her just having her way, do whatever. You think you're nicer than God when God, Jesus does not treat you that way. He's your husband. You mess with God, mess with Jesus if you want to, mess with God if you want to. Jesus said, if you love me, you say you love me, I'm your husband, you love me, keep my commandments. That's the proof of your love for me. Mm-hmm. Look at you, some of you sweet little evangelicals, you sweet little Baptists, you sweet little charismatics. You don't like that, do you? You want God and Jesus to let you do whatever you want and then just forgive you and let you just bless you and let you have your way. But I'm here to tell you, you're not better than God. You're not nicer than God. You're not more loving than God. You need to, some of you parents need to get off of that and deal with your children the way God commanded you. And in the future, they'll love you more and respect you more. But while they're going through the process, there's a whole lot of things going on. The devil, hormones, all kinds of stuff going on inside your teenagers as they're growing older. And they may look like they hate you. That's fine. In fact, if you're not hated by your teenagers and they're not mad at you oftentimes, then you're not doing your job. You're just not doing your job. You're not trying to be friends and buddy-buddy with your teenagers and your children. Get out of here. Do things the way God has told you to do them. Let God's will be done and not yours. If that means they don't speak to you, well, so what? You do your job. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the scoffers accused God of being slack or slow to deliver regarding his promises. They again betrayed, or they again showed and proved their lack of knowledge regarding how God has acted throughout history on his own schedule, so as to perfectly fulfill his will and his plan. Let me help you just a little about regarding God. God's will is going to be done. We sometimes pray things, I don't know how we think, but we say, Lord, let your will be done. But God's will is going to be done. So you can quit saying that. God's will is going to be done. And I can assure you, your will is not. The best prayer you can pray is what I pray every day that Jesus taught me. Holy Father God, hallowed be your name. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's the best prayer you can pray. Because you want God, if you're truly a born-again child of God, you want God's will to be done. Not your will, not your mama's will, not your father's will, God's will to be done. In Genesis 42:1, Joseph was sitting in an Egyptian prison for over 2 years on false charges. The brother never did anything wrong. But he was in jail before Pharaoh had his dream, and Joseph was raised up to lead the kingdom of Egypt. And he could say to his brothers, "Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Now, ladies and gentlemen, as I said earlier, I'm a living witness to this kind of a thing. God will allow you to go through some serious waters. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. If God is going to use you, you're going to go through some stuff. Jesus is going to pray for you, and God will bring you out. But the purpose is, as Jesus said earlier, when you come out of it, strengthen your brethren. The Hebrews were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. It's something about slavery that once you get into it, it's hard to get out. That's a long time right there. We have a little history regarding slavery. It's a long time. And God trained Moses for 80 years plus before he delivered the Hebrews to the promised land. After the prophet Malachi, God was silent to the Jewish people for over 400 years. That's a long time for God to be just silent. He had been speaking to the Jewish people for many years, the Israelites, performing miracles, but 400 years silence from heaven. And they were conquered by the Greeks, the Egyptians, the Syrians, and the Romans in turn, before John the Baptist came as the forerunner of the Messiah, and God sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, when the fullness of the time was come. Dr. Stephen Cole said Peter seems to be alluding to the charges of the false teachers when he says the Lord is not slack or slow about his promises, as some count slackness or slowness. They were saying that because Jesus had not returned yet, by the mid-60s, out of the first century, his promise to return must not be valid at all. The irony was that they were using the Lord's promise, which was giving them time to repent, against him. You know, one of the greatest things that God has done for human beings is give you space to repent. And that's a fact. Oh, but we get up the next day and we get all involved in what we're doing, and we get into the wind and we get all caught up in ourselves and what we want to do and who's going to be the next woman, who's going to be the next man, and all of that. Marrying and divorcing and remarrying and everything, and buying houses and buying lands and buying cars and doing business and making deals and going here and there. And we don't take time to repent. Until, like the man who built the big barns, and he said, I'll take my ease now. But God said, no, you're going to die now. That's what happens to so many people. They buy the big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. They work all their lives. And then they so-called retire, and they say that, Well, my barns are filled. I got the big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. I'm driving a big fine car. Plus, I have an SUV. I can travel anywhere in the world I want to go. I'll just take my ease now and chill out. You know, and then God comes along and says, no, my will is that you die now. And if you're not ready, then you're going to be in trouble. Because, see, when death rings your doorbell, you will answer that door. You may not answer the door for the insurance man. You may not answer the door for a nosy neighbor. You may not answer the door for a bill collector. You may not even answer the door for your mother-in-law. But I guarantee you this, you will answer the door for death. When death rings your doorbell. You can believe that. And death just going to come on in and hook you, and you got to get up out of there. It's over. They wrongly presumed that because God wasn't acting according to their timetable, they could sit in judgment on God. And that is stupid. Sometimes there's no better word than stupid. I mean, it's just this stupid. That's stupid. But the fact is, although we often will have times when we do not understand the Lord's ways or His timing, that's okay. We never have the right to pronounce judgment on God and say that His ways or His timing are wrong or slack. I would not do that. There are some people, they're mostly white people, who talk crazy like that. I don't care if you like it or not. You hear these white people, I'm going to ask God why this, and God why that. When I get to heaven, I hope you get to heaven talking like that. That's what I'm thinking. Black folk are not going to ask God anything. They're going to say, Lord, praise your holy name. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I would have been satisfied with a shack in heaven. But Lord, look at you. Look at what you've done for me. We're not going to have any. I don't have any questions for God about nothing. Tell me, you're going to ask God some questions. I have no questions. No questions. I just have praise. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to get up in here. And I'm just going to praise your name for the next 10 million years. That's it. I have no questions. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, Peter refers to God's patience during the days of Noah, when Noah was building the ark for at least, some believe, for over 100 years, God waited while Noah built the ark and preached righteousness to those evil people. And guess what? None got saved. Only his family got saved. I don't know. I believe some of the animals they were trying to gather up might have tried to run away and get away from Noah. I don't know. But thanks be to God, the family stayed with them. Even so, now God wants or rather God waits patiently while evil abounds. God, for some reason, I don't know why, it's just God's business, but he put in my heart, and I have many witnesses, to predict that something bad, like a plague, was going to take place and curtail our freedoms. I preached on that periodically for over 11 years. I've been preaching righteousness and how that we as Christians need to confess our sins and repent. And just hold some things, you know, you can't stop the tide of evil, humanly speaking, but we could have done better in America than what we did. That's what I'm saying, the church. You understand? Because contrary to what you think, wicked, evil people, I cannot explain it to you exactly how it works, but they have something on the inside of them that if the church stands up and says, no, we're not going this far with you, we're not going to do that, they back up and they stay in their place, back in the closet where they belong. But if the church gives way, then they're going to take over. And that's what has happened in America. See. Before God brings judgment, he shows great patience and long-suffering. And he did. I mean, I was preaching this and preaching this. As soon as I finished preaching, I guess it was for 4 years of preaching the gospel every day, nearly every day. As soon as I quit and was getting ready to take a vacation, my plan was to go to Israel after preaching that many days. A few days later, the plague hit. And then he told me, I want you to keep on preaching, but I want you to preach in a different way. These people are not ready for this. Help those who are willing to get ready. And that's what I did. And now we're at a standing between the, we're at a service that we call the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service for over 400 plus days. At the same point, known only to God, judgment will fall. He is not slow about his promises. As the old saints, the old black saints used to say, God may not come when you think he ought to come, but he's always right on time. And I have found that to be true. How about you? Which refers to the promise of Christ's coming is going to be right on time, which will bring judgment upon the earth. When that judgment comes, all who have not responded to Christ's call to repentance will be excluded from the ark, if you will. They ignored the warnings. It will be too late. The door is now shut. As Paul wrote in Romans 11, God's judgments are unsearchable and his ways are past finding out. No one has ever known his mind or been his counselor. God does what he wants in his world. Do not be like the scoffers who accuse God, falsely accuse God, of being slow and slack to fulfill his promises. What an insult. Instead, trust in God and that in his sovereignty all his plans will be fulfilled and Jesus Christ will return to reign in holiness and righteousness. The question is, are you slack in obeying the gospel? Are you slack in making sure that you and your family are born again and saved? Are you slack in coming to Jesus? That's the question. In other words, dear friend, if you were to die today, where would you go, heaven or hell? Because if you died today, you will go to one of those places. And hell is a very real place. And so is heaven. Now, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, I urge you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today. For he is coming again, and you do not want to be left behind. Never, never, never. You don't want to be left behind. And what God has said, and God is very loving, God is very merciful, God is very gracious, but what he has said is going to come to pass. Otherwise, he would not be God. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will go to heaven. If you refuse Jesus Christ and reject him, you will spend eternity in hell. That's the reality. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and thou you shall be saved. And if you want to be saved today, listen very carefully. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner, as I am, as the Pope is, as the Dalai Lama is, as even Joel Osteen is, whoever you think is a good person. They are lost sinners. And we have all broken God's laws. We have all broken God's Ten Commandments, haven't we? Have you ever lied before? Then you have broken God's Ten Commandments. Have you ever stolen anything before? Maybe some money from your father. He gave you $5 to go and get something in the store. You had some change left over and you bought some bubble gum. You have broken God's Ten Commandments. You say, well, that's not that big of a deal. Well, in God's sight, it is. See, that's again, youth, that's your thinking. But all sin has to be punished, regardless of how small you think it is. See, what's wrong with us? We're so proud, we think that we can pass judgment on sin. And whether or not it is a big sin or a small sin, in God's eyes, is sin. Have you ever lusted in your heart and mind after a beautiful person or some beautiful things, like Achan in the Bible? He came clean. He told the truth. He lusted after he went and stole it. And then he buried it in the ground, but he was destroyed. He and his family were destroyed for that evil, because sin holds up the whole camp. Have you ever dishonored or disobeyed your parents in any way? In God's sight, that's a sin. You have broken his commandments. And on I could go. That's just four of the Ten Commandments. We all have broken God's law, is the point. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin always. You think it's hot today? Go to hell. And the heat that you feel today would feel like air condition, like the like Iceland or something, compared to hell. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Our bodies die and are buried in a grave. Our souls will spend eternity in heaven or hell, depending on what we do with Jesus. If we truly believe in him, we'll be saved from hell. If we if we reject Jesus Christ and do not trust in him as Savior, we will spend eternity in hell. If we believe in him, we'll go to heaven. Thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, if your soul is troubled, your spirit is troubled, something is wrong somewhere, as I deal with you about this issue. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." Don't have any fear if you're saved. If you're not saved, you should have some fear. Because you think living on this earth is hell. Nothing compares to hell, dear friend, on this earth. But rather fear him, fear God. Fear and respect God, fear and respect Jesus. Rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So hell is a very real place. Hell is as real of a place as New York City is a place, or Tokyo is a place, or Cleveland is a place. Hell is a very real place, and you do not want to go there, or you should not want to go there. The Bible makes it very clear that those who reject Jesus Christ as Savior go to this awful place called hell. Those who believe and receive in the Lord Jesus Christ go to heaven. So hell is a bad place. Hell is a sad place, and hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And dear friend, all you have to do is believe. Simply believe by faith in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins. Was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. So believe in your heart right now. If there's trouble in your soul and you fear death, they're telling us on the news that people who poo-pooed on the vaccine, young people, they are rushing to the hospital because they can't breathe. And this particular variant is far worse, 1,000 times worse than the first variant, the first coronavirus. So things are happening much faster. People are getting sicker faster. People are getting worse faster. Symptoms are coming faster. Everything is coming fast. And the nurses tell them, "We're going to have to put you on a ventilator." And they don't want to go on a ventilator because they know that means death in most cases. And you know what they're begging for now? The vaccine. Well, the vaccine to avoid hell is Jesus Christ. But just like the vaccine to avoid the coronavirus, you can't get it. You can't get the shot. Once you have made your decision, it's over not to get the shot. In the case of Jesus Christ, until you die, you can make that decision to trust him as Savior. In fact, he'll save you on your deathbed. But he's the vaccine to keep you from going to hell. Take the vaccine, if you will. believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shalt be saved. It's similar to the children of Israel when they were under a plague. They had to look up at a serpent. The vaccine was looking at that serpent. You may not understand the vaccine, but to avoid pain and death, and in this case hell, you take the vaccine. And I'm telling you, the vaccine is Jesus Christ to save your soul from the power of sin, the pain of sin, and the punishment of sin. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shalt be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today with me right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, for the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell, saved from the power and the pain of sin, and from the punishment of sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shalt be saved. Follow me in prayer right now. Repeat it after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Jesus is calling you. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. For I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died for my sins. That he paid my sin debt. He took my place. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and present, and help me to turn from my evil ways and follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your holy name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And you have believed in him. What a blessing. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book, free of charge, entitled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Yes, it is as simple as that. Don't doubt it. Just believe in Jesus Christ. That person is saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Lord willing, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll be preaching live again, twice, hopefully, if the Lord says the same. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your holy gospel and your holy word. Thank you for the privilege to preach about you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, have your Holy Ghost to fall and to move upon the hearts of people here and outside of here to come know your Savior before it is eternally too late. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.